Good morning. You spread it, spread out a little. Don't get so crowded. We're going to be in Hebrews in chapter 2, but before we go there, let's turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Why Psalm 100? I'm not sure. Maybe God will speak to your heart in a way that you've been asking, praying. Do you ever get into God's Word? I mean, I don't try to get Bible roulette going, open it up and just wherever it lands. That's what God is trying to say to us today. But did you ever open the Word and it's like, this is for me. God is trying to get this through to me. And it's just not coincidence. And coincidence, when it has to do with God, is His way of remaining anonymous at times. And Psalm 100 this morning, for some reason, that I guess only God knows, and I hope I'll find out within the week. Psalm 100 was something that he led me to, and as I look at it now, I spoke to one of our, I spoke to Tom Olive this morning. I'm sure, Tom, if you're watching, he's not going to mind me making this statement. Tom was just wondering, you know, why didn't God take me, was his question. What has he got for me? And I don't think any of us can honestly answer that, the real reason. But one of the purposes, let's call it, is that we would praise Him, that we would glorify Him in everything that we do and every opportunity that we have. Why else are you and I still breathing, you know, God's air? So that we can, with that breath that He's given to us, speak to somebody. And it doesn't have to be, you know, these rote presentations, just to try to tell everybody how much God loves us. The plans and the desires that He has for us. I feel that's why I'm still around, I guess. What other purpose would there be? So Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise. And that answered Tom's question. And as I try to share it with him this morning, that's the only reason we're here is to glorify Him, Tommy, no matter what. But the psalmist, this was a psalm of praise, and he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, all the earth. You know, in its original text in the Hebrew, that joyful noise, we use it when we worship, and mostly for the people who are behind us or next to us who can't sing real well, like Merck, if he's watching Merck, you know, here. Make a joyful noise. That's all that God cares about. That's kind of like an exegetical interpretation. This is shout. It's a battle cry in Hebrews. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. It's a battle cry that's, we're in a time right now that we've never been in. I don't think it's going to be the worst time that we're ever in. But the Word of God tells us that there will come a time that never was, nor ever shall be again. We're just seeing, this is just the beginning. This is nothing compared to what's coming. And the way to do this battle cry, to shout, to make this joyful noise, is to realize that He is coming back. We don't know how much time any of us have anymore. And when there is opportunity, just seek that opportunity. Pray that God would use us and make that battle cry that our Lord is returning. This is not, everything that we see right now is not what is going to be seen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Sometimes it gets to be almost a burden, doesn't it? Feels like it's an obligation at times. Like, I'm a Christian, so I must do this. But I think that gladness is something that, you know, God is looking on the heart. Don't feel bummed about it. Don't think that, wow, you know, I'm falling short there. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. God looks at our heart. What are we desiring? you know, we can't deny the things that are befalling us. Whether, you know, the big topic, and I don't want to make it that. I don't want to make it COVID. I don't want to make it masks. I don't want to make it vaccines. Every one of us, in spite of that, if it never happened, we would be having perilous troubles within our lives, whether it's financial, marital, children, births, deaths. Every one of us are faced with something. In the midst of this, the psalmist is saying, serve him with your heart then. Even if your heart is aching and it's breaking, serve him with gladness. That oil of gladness that the Holy Spirit promised, it's not a fake, worked up, you know, oh, praise the Lord, you know, I just got in a terrible wreck. And why do we think that that's what God is desiring from us? He wants us to, you know, when a happy heart sings, if my heart isn't singing today, if I'm not serving him with that kind of gladness, I have to look at myself and ask, Doug, what is happening? Why are the things that are being seen and heard right now, as we'll get to, why are these things affecting my relationship with a God that loves me so? Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're not our own. If you're in Christ today, if you've accepted that propitiation, that atonement, that sacrifice on the cross, you're in Christ. You can have all these other thoughts about ourselves and how short we fall and everything else, but if you have received God's promise, John 3:16, you know, there's so many others, know that we're in him. But now if we know that, then I have to know that Doug Gibney, that old Doug Gibney, and you put your name in there, that individual has died. That individual has passed from this fleshly life into a spiritual life, and I'm not my own anymore. I'm supposed to glorify him with everything in my spirit that's possible. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Enter into his gates. Enter into his presence. I mean, what does he tell us? He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So we're constantly in his presence. Wherever two or more are gathered, he says, lo, I am in your midst. So when we come to that, oh, yeah, I guess let's go to church today. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. Why not? Broncos aren't playing until 2:30. We're supposed to be coming in here like they did when they went into Hillel Psalms, when they just migrated from all these places. The Jews would sing all the way there. And as they were going up the steps, they had the songs of ascension and praise. And it was just so happy. Can you... And maybe I just am thinking and speaking out loud, but can you remember when that you couldn't wait to get into God's presence? You couldn't wait to get to church. There were people that would, you know, forget Sunday. Monday through Saturday, we used to have 20, 30 people wanting to wash walls, build something, help with something. This is where I meet my Lord right here on Sunday. I want to be there. What happened, Doug? Where's that thanksgiving? Thank you that we're in a country, that we still live in a nation that we mock it every day lately with what's going on in our country and the world around us. But we still, look at us today, we live in a land that we are free to worship our Lord. We're free to bow our heads and close our eyes and say anything we want to say. Either within these walls or out there, there are countries that people are dying for that privilege, for that freedom. What happened, Doug? Where's my thanksgiving? Did I praise God when I came through that door today? Are we blessing his name? And that's just not, oh, bless, you know, Diane's from Texas. If you say, bless your heart, you know, you can say anything you want about the person, but that's not how it is with the Lord. Bless his name. Bless him for what? Bless him for the breath that's in our lungs. Peter Sobey is laying in a hospital bed trying to just get those lungs to open up. Tommy O was there. You were there. I was there. But what do we need today? We need God's air. We need God's oxygen. We need to be able to, with that, then blow it out and bless his name. For the Lord, why should we do this? Because he's good. and his mercy is everlasting. He's not out of mercy today for you, wherever you and I might be in our lives right now, wherever we might be feeling like, what's happening? Has God forgotten us? Or what's happening? Is God going to intervene? His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's you and I, his truth. So as we turn to Hebrews, I want us to at least approach it in our own ways this week, that is the battle we're in right now. It's a battle for truth. It's a battle, as it always been, for God's truth. See, we think the battle is temptation. Temptation to do this, that, or the other with habits and lusts and those things that we can easily name. It's not that. We think maybe it's the temptation, if I don't get this mandated unit or that mandated, I might die. It's not temptation that we're in this war right now. This battle cry, as we heard the psalmist saying, cry it out right now. We're not in a temptation battle. We're in a truth battle. And the truth is for God's word over anything else that we might hear and see. We're in some hard times right now. And as we open this word, there are some hard sayings in this Bible, isn't there? You know, who is it? Mark Twain said, it's not the things that I understand in the Bible that I don't understand in the Bible that bother me. It's the things I do understand in the Bible that bother me. There are hard sayings in here. And sometimes it's very, very hard. And we're going to see today, as the writer of Hebrews tries to explain to his hearers, and I feel the Holy Spirit of God tries to get into my heart and get Doug to understand what's really going on out and about us and how short our time truly is. So we're looking at Hebrews 2. Craig did a great job. How many weeks ago was that when we had church? 2-3 weeks back, he explained the presence of angels and the positions of angels and their reality. Some of us have no problem with believing in angels. Others wonder about it. Are there really angels? Well, the Word of God says that there are angels, so I'd have to go and agree with the Holy Spirit that there are angels. Do we see them? I don't know. Verse 14 of chapter 1 said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So these angels, they're ministers. They somehow minister to us to let us know that God is watching. And I'll kind of let me you know, for a minute, bear with me in my folly, as Paul said a couple of times. Be careful when you entertain strangers, the Word of God says, because sometimes you're entertaining angels unawares. We don't even know. So we have these pictures of, you know, they're either these, like Craig said, little fat babies with exposed butts and little wings flying around. And where do we get these things? Angels, they have 23 eyes. They're like wheels. They get to a point where when a human saw them, they fell as if dead. God also has ways of utilizing individuals to let us know, I'm watching. I see you. Do you see me? I have something for you. These angels might come in a human form. And I wanted to digress. God proves it. You know, God said, I confirm my word, signs following. Last night we were talking with our son, and there was a point in this pilgrimage of Nederland started in 1974 when we moved here. And at that time, Jason and Dee, it wasn't like they didn't have friends because they weren't friendly. There was only about 2 or 3 kids. And you guys, think back to those days. And I look around and think of some of you that were here right then. There were hardly any kids in this town, very small. Very isolated little group. Everybody knew what color socks you wore and everything else, and you knew whose kid was who. But we were talking last night about, Jason says, boy, I remember Dee and I, the only friends that we had when we were like in kindergarten was Heather Dillon and Heath Dillon. So we started talking about Jim Reynolds, some of you know Jim Reynolds, and some of you know Timmy Dillon, and some of you know Heather and Heath, and that was our kids' only friends, and we were saying, wow, whatever happened to so-and-so? We haven't seen Timmy in so long. This morning, I walked out of that room, and I looked back there, and there was Heather Dillon, who we haven't seen in I don't know how long. And she was coming, she came back from Florida to go take her mother, who's got COVID, back to Florida and take care of her. See, God is trying to tell every one of us, I see you, and I feel you, and I hear you. Do you see me? Remember the games you used to play with your kids, I Spy with my little eye when you were driving and you'd have to name something? I hated that game. You know, it's like I'm supposed to be driving, paying attention, but that's God. God saying, I see you. Did you see him today? How have we lost sight of him? How has that been taken from all of us in one form or another? And I think that's what the writer of Hebrews is going to try through the Spirit of God to instill in our hearts today. The writer was showing the superiority of angels, but he also was showing the divine sovereignty and greater superiority of Jesus Christ over these angels. And this meant a lot to the Jewish population that he was speaking to because they held a lot of, you know, value in angels. Angels brought the law on Sinai and there were angel visitations constantly. So their ears picked up. And the writer was trying to show how Jesus is way superior to angels. And he was trying to tell these Jews who were converted to Christianity, it's not Jesus and angels. It's not Jesus and this tradition. It's not Jesus and this old way. It's just Jesus. And he was trying to get that into their hearts and minds so that they wouldn't, as we're going to see, kind of drift away from that new knowledge that each one of them had just received. He was showing through this whole book of Hebrews, this epistle, the dangers of returning to old ways, which these Jews were in. And all of a sudden, it wasn't good enough. They, you know, can you imagine when they heard the trumpets in the temple? And now they're Christians. Oh my gosh, do you remember when? And we go back to those old ways, those old thoughts, and some of us, they might not even be ways and old ways of faith. They might be old ways that we lived in before we, like these Jews, were converted. See, these Jews were converted from Judaism to Christianity when they saw Jesus. But you and I, the application for our lives is every one of us sitting here today, we were converted from some belief pattern, weren't we? There isn't one of us that were born believers here. Now, that I know some have trouble with that. You might have been born a Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a non-denominational. You might have been in that family group, but none of us were born Christian believers in Christ, however you want to say that. So this, in a sense, needs to be applied to our lives too, because what was possible of happening to these Jews could happen to any one of us who have been converted. So the Holy Spirit, through this writer, I believe Paul, but that's okay, was warning of this danger. Man, we hate warnings, don't we? But, you know, the book of Hebrews, which I pray we all love when we read it, this is the first, verse 1 of chapter 2, this is the first of many warnings that we're going to see throughout the book of Hebrews. And like I said, warnings, I thought about those a little, and this is not a loss of salvation. If you're in Christ, you're not going to lose your salvation no matter where you were last night, tonight, this afternoon. He's got us covered if you're in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. If we're in Christ, he said, no man's going to pluck you out of my Father's hand, and that includes myself, the ways I am. Be in Christ today. If you're watching on the Google pad there today, you need Jesus Christ in this time that we're in. It's our only way to salvation. So again, don't worry about the end result being loss of salvation, but there is an end result of loss in something, a reward, the types of rewards that Christ has for each and every one of us. So the dangers, again, and the warnings were against drifting, against slipping, against neglecting. Those are three important words that I think if we start in this, that they should jump out at us before we go any further. Because Paul, as we see here, and we will in a minute, he's talking we, therefore we. He's not speaking just to some unbelievers out there. That's always easy, isn't it? Well, you better do this or else. Well, if you're not doing that, this is us. The possibility, again, not losing salvation, but the possibilities of this drifting, of this slipping, of this neglecting is very possible. And I feel that that was Paul's heart at this time. The one thing in common with drifting or slipping or neglecting is it takes no effort whatsoever, does it? As we look at that through today and the days we'll keep going, it takes no effort on my part to drift. It takes no effort to slip. It takes no effort to neglect. And I looked at those words and briefly, you know, drifting, to move along, to flow by without any effort. Anybody grew up by the water? Anybody remember when you'd go in the water, the lifeguard stand would be there, and the lifeguard stand would be there, and there'd be these red flags, and there was always that annoying guy on there with his whistle, and he'd move you over. Sometimes you did it intentionally. You just wanted to go past the flag. But other times you'd be playing around and Pat and I would be talking out in the water. I'd be surfing. And the next thing you look up and that flag is now clear over there. I just drifted without any knowledge with the undercurrent, the undertow, the drag that the water has. It's imperceptible. It just starts to happen. Slipping. The definition from Webster was failing to make contact with a surface. You ever slip? You ever slip uphill? Maybe. But most of the time you're slipping when it's downhill. You ever drift? Did you ever drift upwards? Or did you always drift sideways or out and away from where you wanted to be? Neglect is a failure to care for something properly. Every one of us probably has something around our house that we've neglected. You ever, how about your weeds? Pat and I plant flowers every single year, and you're out there day after day messing with the dirt, putting Miracle-Gro on it, and you look over here, and there's 300 thistles. Why is there 300? Because it was like, well, tomorrow we'll go out there and we'll pull those. And then they blow up and they create 5,000 more, and those 5,000 get a hole. And before you look, a pasture is completely destroyed, not so much from the thistle, but from neglect, not taking care of something properly. And Paul is utilizing these words, the Holy Spirit is trying to get them into our heart about these warnings of drifting, slipping, and neglecting. Listening is something that's very hard, and I think most of us would agree. You can listen for a while, can't we? And then it's just like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I've heard this before. Oh, I've been there before. Oh, I've heard that one before. Don't allow our hearts and our minds to be brought there by the things that are going on around us. God is asking us to listen. Listen. And we've learned over the months in the studies we've been doing, that God speaks in a still, small voice. We need to get quiet. We need to stop all of the volume that we have going on and the poor me, the what ifs, or how about, why that, what's going to happen, what if I get it, who's going to, we go crazy all day. God's just saying, be still. Be still. Know that I'm God. So warnings, like I said, they're coming. And I hope you like them as much as, you know, we love warnings when they're in the right way, right? Warnings for a speeding ticket. Don't you love a warning instead of a speeding ticket? I'm an ex-cop. I mean, I had We laugh about this, but I literally had a guy that I was going to write a ticket to, and he said, don't give me a ticket, give me a good scare. And I mean, just that statement made me laugh enough that I let the guy off on that. But don't you love warnings? You know, like, oh boy, no, I couldn't use that one on my insurance. We love warnings about road closures, don't we? Oh, great, now I can redo my route. Imagine if somebody didn't warn you and you drove 20 miles into a road and then it stopped. Turn around, you got to go back. We'd be griping. And see, in the spirit, we gripe about warnings. We don't want to hear God warning us. We want all these smooth things, all these beautiful things. But even these warnings are done so nicely. They're just like a recall. You know, don't worry about it. Don't eat it, but bring it back. We like that kind of warning. Why didn't they tell me it had salmonella? You know, our favorite Costco stuff is going south. But we read those warnings and we adhere to them. So here's one of those warnings. This is the first of many to come. Hebrews chapter 2 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So, Father God, open our hearts. Help us receive your word today in its simplicity and then apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Therefore, and we've all known that, but when you see therefore in there, find out what it's there for. Why did the Spirit of God utilize that type of language? Therefore. The therefore is everything that we read in chapter 1, everything that we heard about the superiority of Jesus Christ over the angels and their ministrations and what the Lord is doing and how he laid the foundation of the earth and how he's going to be righteous forever and how he's going to fold up this whole universe like a old shirt or a blanket and throw it away and create a new. Therefore, because all this is going to happen, we, not just the unbeliever, but we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Because. Anybody had a dad like John Gibney? I'd ask, how come, Dad? And he said, because. That was all it took. You didn't question beyond because. It was because. Therefore, because of all of these things, and all of these things are yea and amen, pay attention. The Word of God, and some of you might have a different translation, but in the King James, it says, give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. What is he talking about? I mean, we're hearing so much today. Do you even know what to believe anymore out there? So many things. Here's. Oh yeah. Oh man. That sounds like. That's it. This is where I'm heading. Then you hear or read 5, 6 more. Phew. That's confusing. I don't know. Is it kind of going against what I just heard? Is that not backing up what I just read? We're hearing and seeing so much, but I feel the Spirit is saying, because of all that, Doug, you need to give the more earnest things. Heed to the things that you have heard. What is he speaking? He's speaking here about Jesus Christ, about his love for us, about his desire for us. What have we heard about Christ? What brought you to Jesus Christ? I mean, this is something we need to think. That day that you were not in Christ and I was not in Christ, and all of a sudden I heard a guy like me, I could be forgiven. I could be forgiven for everything that I ignorantly did. I could be forgiven for everything I willingly did. See, there's those sins of omission, there's sins of commission. But there was this man called Jesus who was willing to love me where I was, forgive me for all my sins, pick me back up and make me into the person that he created me to be. But see, it's not just Doug, it's every one of us. What was that thing in the very beginning that you heard as the Spirit of God is saying? What was that first thing that brought you to God? to realize I need a Savior. I need help. I'm a mess. I can't fix myself. I can't go on anymore. I can't live like this anymore. Whatever those statements were, what did you hear? What did you hear that day? Because I feel it's necessary to go back to that. I had left and messed everything up. But all of a sudden, I read this one thing in there, in Hebrews. You remember that? He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I left everything. People left us, didn't they? Ones we loved. But God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I wanted to put that to the test. Everything else in my life is, it's over. It's gone. It's done. But he's still there. I heard that. And that's something that pushed me and pushed me more and more towards God, more towards the Lord. And what he's saying to you, if there's any, remember, we're drifting, we're slipping, we're maybe neglecting some things because of the time that we live in right now. God is saying the easy way back, Doug, is just remember about those things that you heard and give more earnest heed to them. Listening is hard work. It's real hard work. But application to what we hear is even harder. And that's what God is talking about in here, about giving earnest heed to the things which we have heard, is not just hearing them, but it's applying them in our lives. Applying them. That's hard. And many of us, you know, we joke. I've said it at times with our children, all of us. How many times have I told you? Do you think that they didn't hear? They heard. They heard the first time, right? Get in your room and clean it up. You heard that, right? Why didn't you listen then? No, none of us did that. What did we hear? Why do we need to give it earnest heed? Because there's a result if we don't. And that result is the slipping. It's the neglecting. Carelessly drifting, thinking, what's the difference? It doesn't matter. Everybody else is doing it. Does God really care? Surely God wouldn't. That's what happens when we forget about those things that brought us to the Lord. Turn to James 1. Again, it's hearing the word of God. I'm going to go 21 in chapter 1 of James. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's some flowing words, isn't it? And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Well, remember what you heard. This word is the word of salvation. This word can change lives. This word has changed nations. This word has changed individuals over the course of its history. And he said, but here's that but in 22. But don't just hear it. Can I pick on you again? Don't just hear it. Listen. Do it. And that's what I was saying. See, that's what verse 1 is talking. It's about an application of what we're hearing. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone be a hearer of the word, but not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, verse 24, goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. The physical picture that we do that every day, don't we? I've said it. I come out of the bedroom, and Pat looks. She goes, nope. Back in there and get that shirt off, you know, or nope, you're not, or we look in the mirror, how, you know, am I looking pretty good? This is nice. And we know what we look like. We know what we look physically, but God, I think, is telling us in verse 1, examine yourself, Doug. How are you looking right now? Don't be just a hearer of this word. Be a doer of it. Don't forget what you just saw. But whosoever, in verse 25, looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Wow. So don't forget what we heard. And some of those things that we heard, turn to Luke chapter 6. When we started this, I said, those things that we've heard, there's so many voices out there, there's so many things that we could listen to, podcasts, TV, news, what news you watch, what anchor you listen to. We're talking about the Word of God and how critical it is in the time frame that you and I are in today to get us through this. And in Luke chapter 6, where is it, 46. Again, keep in mind as we're rambling, therefore, let us give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we let them drift, slip away, whatever your translation is. And why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Hearing and application, hearing and doing. Hearing and not letting something slip by us like we really didn't understand it at first. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you unto whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. Now that's every one of us who have built a house in Netherlands. You had no choice, right? Deb is an architect. They just built a new house. How much rock did you hit? Was it annoying when you were trying to do that? Dig a hole out here. We kid around. We dig a hole on the ranch, and you get a tablespoon of dirt and a wheelbarrow full of rocks before you make any progress. And God says he's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it couldn't shake it. That's... come over the ranch last night. You want to talk about shaking houses, but he's talking about shaking it to destruction because it's built on a firm foundation and was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and doeth not is like a man without a foundation who built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Go back to Hebrews. I don't know what I have no clock. I have no concept of time. So if you're with me, let's just go a little further. Why is he saying, hear, remember what you heard. Remember how you heard it. Now, stick to it. Why is he so adamant about that? Is because the end result of that. How many of us have told our children, don't do this? Why do we do that? So they wouldn't have fun? No, we knew there was an end result. We didn't want them. I told my kids, I don't want you to have to go through what I went through for 30 years of my life. That's the only reason I'm asking you not to do this. And God knows what is out there in our lives. He knows what the enemy has for pitfalls and trappings and temptations. And that's why he's saying, please give earnest heed to what I spoke to you at one time when your heart sang and just rejoiced. Pay heed to that, or you too, Doug, can drift, can slip, can neglect my word. It's like running out. We know this stuff is in here. We've got the word. Some of us can close our eyes and repeat, memorize, whatever. But did you ever notice that at the time when it's most necessary, it just kind of runs out. It leaks out. It goes out like it's going in a spaghetti colander. What happened in there? We didn't give earnest heed to what we were hearing. The problem today, like I said, and I'll start bringing it to an end, is not temptation. It's all around us. And there's no temptation that Christ can't bring us through, not one. I don't care if anybody likes that statement or not. The fact of the matter is I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I'd rather do this when we know that something is causing me to drift. It's not God. He can bring us through any temptation as long as we adhere to his truth, the truth of his word. Hebrews 6. Let's just jump ahead. I learned this from Craig. We won't be in Hebrews 6 for like 4 months probably. So like I said, it's not a matter of this temptation. It's not your neighbor. It's not your wife. It's not the COVID. It's not the government. We're in a battle, flesh against spirit, good against evil. God bringing his plan to fruition. We should be rejoicing right now. There is nothing in our past history that equates to today's happenings. Everything that could be for God to open that final curtain for the last act, it's here in our lifetime. We used to think 30, 40, 50, will we really see it? Do we really think that there's a rapture? Do you really think we'll be alive when that happens? Remember all those statements? We're in it. Don't drift. Don't slip. Don't neglect what we already know because of garbage that's going to pass from this world. See, the things that are seen are temporal, the word says in 2 Corinthians. And the things that are unseen, they're eternal. So what are those things? We've seen God. I just saw God through Heather Dillon this morning. Show me, Doug, I hear you. That was somebody that Dee and her were like that. And God, you know, through that is bringing me peace in my soul. If I could bring Heather into this church today just to hug you and remember a little bit, I got Dee. What's keeping that from my heart? What's keeping you from that one thing today that's, you didn't lose your salvation. You still believe, you still read, you go to Bible studies and everything else, but what's making me just kind of drift away from that solid foundation that I know I am on? And we've got to answer that. And mainly the thing with drifting, those of us again by water, I had us turn to Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. Listen to this, that by two immutable things, which is an impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon this hope that is set before us. Remember that? That's what you heard. We fled to him. We didn't, some of us ran to all, we ran to alcohol, we ran to drugs, we ran to sex, we ran to other isms and the way. And I followed Carlos Castaneda back then, and I tried every single belief pattern to try to get free and get to where I felt this is where I need. We fled to Christ, and then we heard him. He says, you hear me. I confirm my word, signs following. We all want signs, signs, signs. We need an anchor for our soul today so that verse 1 of Hebrews 2 doesn't become a reality in my life. And if it is, there's a correction. It's called an anchor. And does your anchor hold? You know, I've read and we've seen even in Niagara Falls, way upstream, it says, do you have an anchor? This sign, because you are heading down, you are drifting out of control, and underneath it, it says, do you know how to use it? See, an anchor's no good unless it's tied to something. You can have an anchor, throw it off the boat, and then just keep going. Do we have an anchor? Because that's what verse 19 says, which hope, this hope of Jesus Christ that we've heard, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Wow. Do you have an anchor? Is your anchor tied to something other than Jesus? IRAs, blah, blah, blah. We need this anchor for our soul. We need to throw it out at times if we feel. See, you don't throw out an anchor. We used to have boats back on Long Island. You don't anchor unless you want to stay put. That's when you're going fishing. Here's a nice fishing hole. They're biting. You drop your anchor. You stay there. You also drop anchor in a storm because you're getting blown all over the place. Okay, let's sit this one out. Or you get to a safe harbor and you throw your anchor out there. You only anchor when you want to stay put. If you're drifting today, if somebody in your family or your kids or anybody is drifting or neglecting or kind of letting things slip that they were, then they need an anchor, and that anchor is Jesus Christ. How do I know? See, drifting, remember we started, and I will end with this, drifting, it's so subtle. You can just sit there in the ocean with your hands on your chest, and you go, oh, it just feels so good. And before you know it, you can't get back into that beach. Because there's an undertow, there's a rip current, and it's taking you somewhere that you don't want to go. Is that happening in our lives today in any form or fashion? When we were in Hawaii, Craig and I heard this guy screaming, and he was his brother in a kayak who was, what, 100 yards out maybe? He lost the kayak. He just was drifting, got out there, got in a current and could not get back, got out of the kayak, lost the kayak, and praise God that God gave Craig the stamina to paddle out there and save this guy. All it was drifting when he started. He was in his dad's kayak having a nice afternoon. Before he knew it, it was a little bit too late at that time. How do I know if I'm drifting? How do I know if I'm slipping or neglecting? And this will be my last one. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. How do I know if I'm drifting? How do I know if I'm slipping? So that when I read verse 1 of Hebrews 2 again today and ask God, show me the application for my life in this, Lord. How do I know if that's already happening? Because either, you know, miracles and drifting, they happen sometimes so slowly that you don't even realize they're going on. Things that you have waited and waited and waited for, all of a sudden, boom, there they are. And somewhere in between, you might have lost the hope and the joy of it. Is that happening to me? Verse 22 of Hebrews 10, I feel that if, as we read this and close with this, if any of these are not the joy and delight of my heart, it's a good bellwether that I might be drifting, I might be slipping, I might be neglecting. So the writer of Hebrews here is speaking again to these Jews who were in danger of slipping and drifting and whatnot. The context of the whole chapters doesn't change. He's telling these new Christians, hang on to what you heard. Pay earnest attention to it. Apply it to your life. Now he's telling them, let us, in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. If today, for some reason, you think that you've done something that God just can't love you anymore, you don't have a heart of full assurance anymore. The blessed assurance, the eternal salvation that God promises is kind of drifting from my mind to my heart right now. But if I have that full assurance, then I'm well anchored. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. If I am not holding, you know, I just, with everything I had, I begged God. I said, I tried to blow my own head off one time. And I'm not proud of that. And I'm sorry for you kids and stuff. Suicide is a cop from the devil, man. There's no way out. It's senseless. It's selfish. But I look at this and hold fast the profession. If we're not holding fast the profession, I yelled out to God, if you save my life, if you give me my family back, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. I'll never leave. If you're not holding to those first things that you told him anymore, then you're drifting. You're starting to slip. Even if it's just neglecting, it's danger, Will Robinson. Let us consider verse 24, one another. Let's consider one another. That means think. You know, remember in Hebrews it says, consider Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. You know, he despised the cross and its shame, but man, for the joy, that's you, that's us. He was just like, I'll give everything. Let us consider one another. If I'm not considering those that are around me anymore, if it doesn't mean anything, if that person in that seat annoys me so much that I don't want to come to church on Sunday, I'm slipping. If people who have left us and moved, I'll never forget you, Dave, because one day you might just, you know, have an extra comet or something you need to get rid of. We joke about, but if we let people who have moved, how many have left us here? But God is saying, consider one another. Have we forgotten? Why did they leave? Maybe they left because God had another plan for their lives. Maybe they left because he had a work that would be imparted through them in that place in Florida or Texas or whatever they might be, the Marciniaks, and the, let's keep naming the names of people. If I'm not considering one another, I'm drifting. To provoke unto love and good works. See, you know, this Lone Ranger Christian stuff that we see so much. You can practice faith and you can practice hope all by yourself, can't you? But you can't practice love. You need somebody. We need one another. And if we ever forget that we need every single one of us in this church or other churches if you go to, if that is not your heart cry anymore, then there's a good chance that I'm drifting. I'm repeating myself. I'm slipping. I'm neglecting what God has for me. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So, you know, we use this to beat the sheep, that if you're not here today, Paul, you know, you're messing up. This is one type of assembly. But during the course of the week, we can get together. The assembling of our saints. But during the course of the week, hey, do you need a hand? I can come over and help you. Hey, could this help you out? If I'm not doing that, if I'm just saying, the heck, well, I don't care. I'm going hiking. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We might be slipping. And the writer is saying, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much this more as you see the day approaching. Are we getting God's word out? Does it mean everything to me to exhort somebody? Don't give up. Don't give up. God's got more for us. If I'm not doing this, the chances are I might be slipping. It's a sign that my anchor isn't holding. So again, all I can say is for each and every one of us, adhere to that word. Understand whatever it is that you're battling today, I don't care if it's from your age to the oldest one of us in here. It's a battle for the truth of God's word. Amen. Choose that truth. Choose to hold on to it as hard as it is. Choose to listen. Like I said, listening is hard. Listening is real hard, but choose to listen. And let's watch what God can do just in our small little body. And it'll just progress from here into your families, into your households. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your mercy that does endure forever. Thank you for your abounding grace, Lord, that continues to be poured out on us day after day. Help us to just not drift, not slip, not neglect those things that we know, Lord, but try to battle against the flesh at those times when it's most needed. Thank you that you being our anchor, Father, we will find safe harbor. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's stand and worship.